Welcome to Two Bald Men Fighting Over a Comb, a podcast in which when the tough gets going, the tough get rough, and that's just our bowel motions. Anyway, this is a safe space to enjoy the nattering of nonsense. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
What should they be teaching at university?
I don't know, just about, instead of focusing just on your subjects and stuff like that, I think there should have been an element of, I don't know, managing kind of not expectations, but just helping you kind of come to terms with something that has ended as well. Because I had a fantastic time at university. When I left, it was like, okay, everyone had gone back. Like Marco went back to Italy, you went back to Ashford. And there should have been something near the end, I felt, like, to kind of ready you to say, look, here's how to do a CV. Let's do some mock interviews and stuff. It doesn't need to be like, you know, months and months. It could just be, you know, drop in things that they help you just to prepare for when.
So practical and emotional help.
Yeah, absolutely. I must admit, I probably looking back, I think I was not depressed in the sense that I didn't want to go out, didn't want to do anything. But that lifestyle, that kind of having your friends around and just having fun, and then suddenly it's like, right, I'm on my own here, and then you're into the rigmarole of the 9 to 5 and just...
Is it like the end of your childhood almost?
In a way, and I just thought that would have been handy if they... I mean, but they maybe do now, because I think they're a little bit more kind of used to
This is going to be more amusing. I thought it was going to be they need to teach you how to juggle
or cook
an omelette or something.
I know someone who's been. I know someone who did like circus skills or something.
It just reminded me of a funny anecdote. There was a geography trip at school, and I think it's to France. And they were doing their normal beach geography, and. One of the teacher said, "Don't go down. There's a nudist beach down the end." so this sort of all boys school. So like, don't go down to the nudist beach and look at the naked ladies. And so what's the first thing everyone does?
Of course.
And one guy gets caught. Headmaster's like dressing him down, and he's like, "What were you doing down here?" He goes, "I was admiring the longshore drift."
I went to Formentera probably about 15 years ago, and there are certain beaches which are all nudist beaches. So I said to my partner at the time, who's now my wife, so yeah, it's fine. Let's go. Yeah, we'll go there. And so we were there, and I was like, right, you know, I was laying down, took my shorts off and stuff like that, and I was like, okay. But the problem with nudist beaches, from my experience, you're not got all these like nice toned people. They are generally in their 60s, overweight, and just kind of letting it all hang out and stuff. They probably didn't give a shit, and yeah, fair enough. But because
some people like that though.
Have you ever? I've not researched this, but have you ever heard there is this thing? There's like a new health kick, and they call it perineum tanning. So you have to lay on your back with your legs up. I mean, imagine if you got burned. That'd just be like the worst, because it's obviously very uncomfortable. Yeah, that's where you sit when you walk along, it's, you know, all that.
I know a gentleman who was imacking his back, sack and crack. And then he fell asleep.
It was at this moment that he knew he fucked up.
Oh. a couple of hours later. He had to go to A&E with some burns.
I knew someone who did that to their coin purse. They put all IMAC on their coin purse because they thought, I'm not shaving it. And they said it burnt like hell. And he said for about a week he was wearing two lots of underwear because just to keep them from moving around and stuff. But
padded with cotton wool.
I mean, you've got to look after your plums and everything else. I guess that would be quite handy if you had something called like grow clothes or something. Have you got any idea about grow?
Before we go on to grow clothes, as you mentioned plums. Do you know why plumbers are called plumbers?
I'm wondering whether it's to do with they do something and they go, oh, that looks plumb, maybe, is in terms of being straight and level.
Okay, so you're getting close. Okay, so a plumb line is a metal weight on the end of a string to give you a straight line. And it's called a plumb line because it's got a piece of lead on the bottom. So I think the Latin for lead was plumbum. That's why on the periodic table it's PB, plumbum.
Okay.
And so that's why plumbers in ancient times, so the pipes and things in Rome were lead pipes. So someone basically who does things with plumbum.
Plumbum. Nice, I think I've got something like that in my garage somewhere. I've got some string with a weight on the end, and I'm like, what's this for? So
that's for stretching your testicles.
No, I have a hot shower. I have a hot shower. Sit on the, no, hot bath, and I sit on a bench.
Make you into a Rantalian.
More of a Rantalian. Yeah. That's why.
Anyway, grow clothes.
I say grow clothes would be handy for a Rantalian.
And just yeah, they would be. They would be. But just a reminder to the listeners, we have a list of ideas. This is how I launched straight into the university thing. Rob had written down his list of ideas, what we should have learned at university. Should have said that earlier on. But anyway, one of my ideas is grow cloves. And I was thinking it would be an interesting idea. I don't know if you remember when you were at school, you got the cress seeds and you got the kitchen roll, and you put the cress seeds in the kitchen roll, put some water on it,
yes,
and the cress magically grew out of it.
Or you could use an egg. Obviously, you crack an egg, you pour, obviously, you keep the larger bit of the shell, you can put some cress seeds and a little bit of cotton wool, and then that grows hair out of the draw face on it.
Yeah.
But don't get too attached.
I thought this is the next step in fashion. I thought maybe you could get like clothes with some sort of fabric like kitchen towel that isn't kitchen towel. Mm. Put water on it, put cress seeds all over. Maybe lettuce seeds, and you could actually walk around all day looking stylish, but also growing your food for dinner.
Well, if it's a hot day, you might wilt a bit, because you've got to keep yourself watered, haven't you? Because what would you do? I mean,
well, that's just, you know, when you shower in the morning, just don't take your clothes off.
Sweat. You could be sweating.
Yeah, sweat as well. Yeah, and then, you know, I'm sure plants need a bit of salt as well in their diet.
Yeah.
So so you could grow your food as you. I mean, it'd be great for vegans. I mean, for you know, carnivores and omnivores, maybe not so useful. But if you're a vegan, you could probably grow most vegetable-y things from your clothes.
Yeah. So, it's getting a bit uncomfortable. What's that? I've got a carrot. I can't tell you where it's. I can't tell you where it's growing.
I've got an ingrown carrot.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I'd want to eat it though afterwards. But
you know, a bit of manure, isn't it? It's good for growing things.
But I don't know. I mean, you'd have to keep taking it out, wouldn't you, though, every time you needed another plop?
Oh, yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Or you could just not wipe your bum and then use your skid marks as manure, couldn't you?
Yeah. I guess it'd be quite handy as well if you're walking along the road and you're like, I've just bought myself a burger, like a hamburger.
Bit of rocket,
and you think, well, you're just like, I just got this burger with obviously the onion and the gherkin and the ketchup. And you go, it's only a bit of salad. Someone's walking past you, hiya, tap them on the shoulder, rip a bit of the iceberg off,
put it. That's how I would relish that.
Oh my god!
Oh god, it's so good. So good.
Belly pillows. What are belly pillows, Rob?
Belly pillows. Well, I was thinking about, in terms of the fluff collected within tummy buttons of people, because that's obviously where you collect sweat and where their clothes rub against the navel.
Then I have a lot of that.
You what?
I get a lot of that.
Well,
I tend to use it as I put it on my dog's head just to wind them up.
Oh, okay. Well, you could put it in a jar, or say you're in a queue. Mm. And it's like, I'll just have a little rummage round. You take it out and you put it in these things, collect it. You know where people take to recycle batteries? You just have these little buckets, things where you can just put a little bit of your belly button fluff and you collect it. Same with tumble dryers. You get all that kind of fluff that's collected there. People just
That's like artificial belly fluff, though, isn't it?
Exactly, but people pick it up and they throw it away. I'm just thinking, if you were to, in some form, be able to harvest it, and then you would be able to make some form of cotton, then you could have that. I mean, you'd probably only collect enough to make a small pillow for a mouse or something, and it'd take more effort than...
Well, yeah, a bit more time, isn't it? You know, it's be a labour of love. Maybe you could include, you know, sometimes you get like a bit of fluff down your bum crack as well. Do you get that sometimes?
No.
That's just me.
You've got a back pussy, have you? Like that big triangle clump of hair just above your back. Something for the gentlemen's to hold on to.
You know, like corn and things like that, they're just like a fungus, aren't they, that they grow and use for vegetarian, vegan stuff. I think the most common fungus that grows on humans is thrush, isn't it? Yeah, it's very common, thrush. So, you know, you could take thrush that grows in various places on the human body, scrape it off, turn it into a new vegetarian craze. Use it to make Marmite, or a version of Marmite.
Oh.
Mingy mite.
Yeah. Well, I've seen these things. Say, do you want some of this spread on your toast? No thanks. I don't even like Marmite. Well, as we know from the one of our episodes before, as the forfeit. Yeah.
Have I broken you with that one?
You have. I lost my thread. That's what it is. It's my belly button thread.
I don't think you get belly button thrush.
No, well, that's...
You do get apron thrush though. So say you got somebody who's a bit overweight and they've got the apron that hangs down.
Right.
Underneath that, where it gets sweaty, it's a good area for thrush to accumulate.
And does thrush smell? Because I've noticed when I've been, well, previously when I've been on the underground, in the summer, there have been some portly people, and they've let off
Portland,
a bit of a
Portland Square.
Yeah, they've kind of let off a bit of a pong, and I've always found it to be quite a consistent smell. Not that I go up to them and I'm going anything like that. But is that the thrush smell then?
Not since you got arrested.
That's why I moved out of London. It's like, you know, oh, I can't.
It's like, this is okay in Norwich.
Yeah, what do you mean I can't take the underground? How am I going to get to work? Yeah, well, I didn't realise that. So I guess it's just like an antifungal cream then would get rid of that.
Antifungal cream, yeah. If you have it, you can get it on your tongue as well. You know, you get white spots on your tongue.
Yeah, all thrush, yeah, all those type of things.
Yeah, so that's, you know, if you take antibiotics and things like that, it can reduce your oral flora and make it more, a more habitable place for the thrush to grow, because they're competing less.
Oh, well, on the subject of the body, phantom hemorrhoids?
Oh, this is an idea that came actually in the last podcast. We didn't record it, but
you leave my arsehole out of this.
this has been a very arse-centered podcast so far. But I think most of
carrots.
Ours are,
I really. Think we've got a hidden
hidden issue, agenda.
Hidden issues here.
Yeah, but no. So people who have an amputation, say their arm. Or they lose a leg or whatever, they can suffer from phantom limbs or phantom pain, which is where they still feel pain in the limb that's not there, or their body interprets nerve signals as being pain in a phantom limb. And so it's a well-known phenomenon. It's a well-known one of them. But yeah, I was thinking hemorrhoids. When you have the hemorrhoids that sort of dangle outside of the bum, so external hemorrhoids. The treatment for that is to tie them up with stuff like dental floss, so cut the blood flow off to the hemorrhoid, and then they drop off after a couple of days. So I was thinking, hemorrhoids hurt a lot. So if you do that, would you get phantom hemorrhoids for the ones that you've amputated? What do you think?
Well, I've never heard of it, and I'm wondering whether, because I guess with the phantom, when you say a limb, being removed. Is that where the nerve is damaged, per se? And so that's why that... So with your hemorrhoids, I mean, I know there's lots of nerve endings around that kind of... that around the hoop. Then with that, I mean, I guess it could be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've never... never thought about it. It's not something I've ever needed to do, but I just wondered.
That's because you get your wife to do it for you.
Well, actually, I just get a little rat normally, and they gnaw it off. It hurts like hell.
But, how much do you pay that rat to do that?
I let him off the rent for that week. For like,
you feed him a little bit of cheese.
Yeah, a bit of cheese. Well, apparently. I don't know if it's like mice, they like chocolate more than they do cheese. I remember when I was at grammar school, my friend, he had a mouse in his garage, or some mice in his garage.
Is this your grammar school education coming out?
Yes. And he said, oh, I've caught, he said, like, I've got one in a trap. And so naturally I went round there to see this mouse. Obviously got his head kind of caught in this trap, and it tried to pull itself away, so there was this like thin line. So you had the head, thin line, and then the body. And then he was like, we were like, oh, what's that scurrying around? And we could hear like these mice kind of scurrying about. So I picked up this metal pole and I saw it shoot up the wall. So I was like, whack, 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 trying to get it. But I was hitting it so hard, then the metal pole was actually making my hands ache. And then the mouse jumped towards me. So I moved back and I ended up rolling over the bonnet of his mum's car.
This sounds quite action hero.
That was. And then we couldn't, I mean, then I think the mouse was a bit like, oh, you know, I had a near-death experience. That's what I put that down to. So it was like, right, we're just going to leave the mice be.
Rob, have I ever told you my story about how I glassed a cat?
I don't know if this is something that you want to be sharing with not just me.
Well, no, I heard about you attacking an animal. I thought, well, you know, I'll tell you my story about how I attacked an animal.
I tried. I didn't connect. I must admit, I didn't connect. It sounds to me you were...
When I moved to Nottingham, I lived in this... slightly rough area.
If we can say Kattery, that's a bad place.
Old sort of terraced Victorian houses, and we had two cats at the time, and the cat flap to this place wasn't one of those ones with the microchips. So like all the local bruiser cats used to come in and just beat the hell out of our cats and piss everywhere and stuff. So it's rather unpleasant. But there was one particular cat who was a little bastard, a little bruiser, white and ginger thing. Mm. And he's the one who did the most beating up and general pissing everywhere. So I'm like...
I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah, so one day I'm like, I'm going to scare this cat. I'm going to make it so it doesn't... Rather than going out and saying, I need to buy a different cat flap, I'm like, I'm going to scare this cat. I'm going to make sure he doesn't come back. So it was like a long galley kitchen, and I put the cat flap so you can come in but you can go out. And I wait for him to come in the house, chase him into the kitchen. He couldn't get out the cat flap. I closed the door. It was me and him in the kitchen. I thought, the best thing to do, get some water, throw it on him, open the door, let him go. So I threw some water on him. He didn't like it, he hissed at me. I opened the door, he went. I'm like, I'm a winner. But then a couple of weeks later, he started coming back in and like the same sort of behaviour. And so I'm like, I'm going to do this again, but I'm going to do it better, maybe a couple of glasses of water. So it's the same procedure, cat flap set up, chased him into the kitchen, closed the door, and... filled up the glass of water, and he's like, he's a bit cleverer this time, so he runs underneath the kitchen counter.
Oh, okay.
And you know, so it's like yay tall.
Hang on, did you then switch the gas on and the cooker and then lit a match?
I could have done it with gas, couldn't I? But no, I thought I'm gonna do the same. I got the pint glass of water, and I went to throw it in his face, but he was underneath the counter, so I basically stuck the glass into the floor by accident and showered him with glass. And I felt so guilty about it, I just let him go straight away. So basically I glassed the cat.
flipping egg.
But I was trying to protect my own cat from it was an evil thing.
Yeah, evil thing. I was going to say, but...
Then I went out and bought a proper cat flap that you can get to.
Well, I was going to say, so...
That should have been what I did to start with, really.
Yeah, so fundamentally, though, the cat didn't come to any harm, and you weren't meaning to harm the cat. I just want to make that perfectly clear to the listeners that we don't advocate animal cruelty.
I wasn't in a bar, and I'm like, I don't like the look of that cat. Smash, glass in the face. No.
Well, it's like... Oh, there was that. Can you remember that news story a while back? That woman, she was walking along, and she picked the cat up and then dumped it in the bin. And then it was like...
My hero.
And then she was like, oh, I was under a lot of stress.
Come on, pick out one of mine.
I just did, phantom hemorrhoids. It's your turn.
Oh, okay. Is it my turn to pick one of yours out then, is it? Okay, 48-hour deodorant.
That's what I can't understand, right? How often do you bathe? How often do you wash?
Once a week.
All right, so maybe it needs to be longer than 48 hours. You know what I mean? You have a shower every day, or a wash, or some form of cleanliness activity. It might be that you get your dogs to lick you clean. I don't know. That might be
only around the groin. That might be only the thrush.
Might be a Sunday. Only to ease the perineum sunburn.
Yeah.
Dog saliva helps. Or your to soothe your phantom hemorrhoid.
Absolutely.
But I can never understand 48-hour deodorant, right? So you put it on, it's like, well, in 24 hours, you would, in theory, be having another wash. Why is it 48 hours? And if they're doing 48 hours, why not 72 hours? Why not? Mm. And then, because it's antiperspirant as well, you're stopping your body from doing its natural thing. Mm. And
it's a waste of water. You think about all the water in your shower that just gets sucked into your armpits and disappear. Well, so how do you wash the rest of your body?
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, what would happen if you were to put antiperspirant all over your body, get into a bath? It'd be like, what? Because you're stopping the... Because I can't use antiperspirant deodorant because it makes my armpits itch. Mm.
I wondered what the smell was.
No. So I've gone for like, because do you know how difficult it is to find a deodorant which isn't antiperspirant? But what I think I've got a natural one now, which it doesn't stop the body from...
You rub dock leaves on your armpits.
Grapefruit, half a grapefruit every morning, and then I get to then I get to eat it. No, I don't know what it is. It's kind of like some... I got it from like Holland and Barrett, so it's got to be it's vegan friendly.
And it costs £20 a bottle.
No, well, it's not that expensive. It's like maybe £5, but it's lasted me for ages because you just shake it and then you pump one under the armpit and stuff. But it took me ages to find anything. But what I'm trying to say is you're stopping your body from doing something it needs to do, which is sweat. Because if you can't sweat under your arms, then what it is, you start sweating everywhere else. It might be that if you use antiperspirant deodorant, Thomas, you're stopping your armpits from sweating. That's why you sweat around your ass crack. And that's where you're getting fluff from your ass. Cause,
fluff and thrush.
Yeah, because you're dispersing like the cooling down mechanism from your armpits to that. So I 48 hours.
You've got it all wrong there, Rob. Because I'm actually part canine.
Oh, I thought you meant
I don't know. You know, your ideas are always pretty solid. I sweat from my paws. Paws, but like hand paws and foot paws, and I pant when I get hot.
Oh right,
that's how I release the temperature. So if you put me in a hot car, game over.
Well, I crack a window for you.
Yeah, well, I don't have the opposable thumbs to do that.
No, I'd do it for you. I'd look after you.
Oh, thank you. Right. So you wouldn't lock me in your hot car.
No, because would that be like a dingery? I'd give you if that was a...
Oh, you want to know what a dingery is?
I want to know what a dingery is, yeah. I thought it'd be like a door injury.
No, it's not a door injury. It's a dinner injury. So the part of my job is looking for people to send home from hospital. So I get to look at everyone's handover. And there was one... a gentleman who was in hospital the other day who had an aspirin pneumonia from basically inhaling a roast potato, and it was on the it was on the handover.
How do you
aspirated roast potato? I'm like, that is the saddest Christmas ever, isn't it?
So is it the smell of the oil then, or something that must have been?
No, so aspiration is choking basically. So it's when you you breathe in rather than swallow food or water. Yeah. And so he's basically had some roast potato go into his windpipe rather than his esophagus. And he's got a... So and any food that gets into your lungs, it just grows bacteria and gives you pneumonia, basically.
Blimey. So he gobbled his Christmas dinner up too quickly to try and watch the...
He gobbled his Christmas... King's speech. So he was in hospital after Christmas with a roast potato aspiration. So I was thinking that counts as a dingery. Dinner injury. I was thinking, what other dingeries
biting your tongue.
Biting your tongue. Yeah.
That is really painful. I
was reading in my research for this episode. I don't know how I got onto it. I was reading about funny deaths, and you heard of a guy, the Pinkerton Company in America, who did all of the stuff, the Wild West, and all the it was some sort of company with security and railroads and things.
Oh yeah.
And the guy who started the company, Mr. Pinkerton, he fell over and cut his tongue really badly with his teeth.
Oof.
And he got a gangrene and died from his tongue injury. But that's not really a dingery because it wasn't during dinner. It was during his walk to work. It might be a walk to dinner. I don't know. But
can you remember?
But yeah, biting your tongue could be a dingery.
Then what about, and I don't know if I've mentioned this in one of the earlier episodes, There's a French dude who is in the Guinness World Record books, whatever, or however, let's rearrange this as a sentence. And he eats metal, he can chomp through like a little Cessna plane or something, right? And what's always kind of made me think is, it's okay him eating it. How does he pump it out? Especially if it's sharp metal. Because obviously he's eating it. It's going into his stomach and he's can't digest it.
That's going to cause dingeries, isn't it?
Around his anus.
That's like digestion injuries.
Well, digestion injuries, trying to get it out. Does he have problems when he goes into a supermarket to do his shopping? He beeps. I mean, he got a great...
He's not going to be anemic, is he?
He's got plenty of iron.
Yeah. Yes, and that reminds me of, because you said about Guinness Records, another guy who died in quite an interesting fashion. He was the Guinness World Record holder for length of beard. And there was a fire in his building, and he panicked and ran out. And rather than sort of fold his beard up and run out holding it like this, he tripped over his beard and broke his neck.
Oh my God! Imagine that.
So yeah, this is the depth of the research for this podcast. You know? I mean, this is stuff we don't even... Well, I wasn't going to even use.
What, lockjaw? Can you get lockjaw if you tried to take a big bite of a tasty baguette? Yeah. Or cramp? Yeah, have you ever got cramp in the underskull or under?
I get it when I yawn sometimes. I get cramp in my neck. I also always get cramp in my first mouthful. In my jaw. I always get cramp in my jaw because there's something wrong with my jaw, basically.
You need to warm it up first, then maybe, or something.
No, just always first mouthful. So it's like if someone's cooked something really nice for me. So I got around for a dinner party with a beautiful lady. She cooks me a lovely meal, and I sit down to eat it. First mouthful, I'll get cramp in my jaw, and it looks like I'm not enjoying the food very much.
Oh, because you go,
basically. So I'll have to stick my head below the table for the first mouthful, and she's like, what's he doing?
It's like, oh,
he's just filleting himself.
It's like, oh, hang on a minute. I just dropped some of my belly button fluff on the floor. I need to, my friend's collecting it. But, oh, okay, dingeries. What other dingeries could you get? I mean,
maybe just sticking your fork accidentally through your tongue or something.
So maybe somebody could stab you with a fork or something like that. Mm. Are these self-inflicted injuries?
Not necessarily. It's just an injury. An injury incurred. That's not the right word. An injury. I can't find the word. That you get.
What about a champagne cork maybe popping off?
Oh, yeah, popping into your eye.
Or someone else's eye or something like that. You could do that.
That could be a dingery. That'd be a posh dingery, though, wouldn't it?
Would be. I know a friend of mine, they were making a smoothie and they nearly lopped the whole of their top of their finger off
That's in the preparation. Does it count? I'm talking more about the actual act of eating.
Oh, right. Well, there's the was it President President Bush? He choked on a bit of pretzel, didn't he? So I guess there is that.
Choking is going to be a lot of it, isn't it? I mean, that's where
Mama Cass from the Mamas and Papas. She choked.
Oh, don't get back onto them. Weren't you telling me? Oh, you're telling. Was it you telling me? No, actually, no, it wasn't. It was Gemma telling me.
What about the Mamas and Papas?
Yeah, just have a read of their Wikipedia page. There's some weird incesty stuff going on with that band. So,
what is there?
Yeah, I really like California Dreaming, and I don't know if I can listen to it again after hearing about that. But that's one for people to go away and research on their own.
Oh, you're giving a little titillation.
Holograms, Rob, you've written on the mindless map, you've written down hologram.
Holograms? Oh, there was something on the BBC, and they were saying about how Elvis, they're going to tour this thing with Elvis, and they're going to use a hologram of him, and he's going to be on stage, and... You know, was gonna, you know, see the Elvis thing, and then from exactly, and then I started to think about who else had done that, and it was ABBA did their Voyage tour or whatever it was.
Oh, I love ABBA.
Do you? I don't mind their greatest hits. I couldn't listen to, you know, like an album because I think I'd probably get a bit fed up with it.
Absolute geniuses.
Oh, no, absolutely. Because I think there's the museum in Sweden, and it's got a live feed into, is it Benny, who's the keyboardist, or...
Benny and Bjorn, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's one or the other, isn't it?
Bjorn was a guitarist.
Absolutely, so it must be Benny. So, and that would have a live stream to his music room, or connected to, like, his piano, because he'd go in there every day and just start, like, tinkling on the ivories, having a piss on his keyboard, basically. And so their tour, you were sat down and you're watching holograms of them performing. And I just thought to myself, how is that a concert?
You're going back to the serious? We're going back to Roger. We always talk about Roger Waters, but you're going back to The Wall, aren't you? With didn't they play one song where they're behind the wall and then there are people with masks on, their masks on, playing in front of you, aren't they?
Oh, that is at the beginning, isn't it? And they will come on with masks and the wall kind of falls down, doesn't it? And then you get the real Pink Floyd and then they get slowly built up. But what I'm saying is you've got physical people there and it's that whole, you know, they're wearing a mask and you could put anyone there, but they're real.
As long as you know what you're going to see, you're going to see a pre-recorded piece of music being... It's like we're going to watch a film, really, isn't it?
Well, exactly. But you're paying ten times as much to see a hologram.
If you're prepared to pay it, I mean, I think there are lots of people out there who would.
I just don't know because for me, it's like, well, it's not real, is it? It's not. I might as well just stay at home, get a Blu-ray DVD, and
then
watch
you had the Beatles thing where they had all the young footage, well, the footage of them with John Lennon now, sort of thing, and. And it's nice, you know, it's nice.
Yeah, but that's a music video, wasn't it, that I sat at home.
People who are invested in the story, they'll get entertainment and enjoyment from that. So, you know, people, if it's shit and it's a bad idea, people won't pay money to come and see it, will they?
I've not heard anything bad about it in terms of, like, the one review I've read about the ABBA Voyage thing. But it just got me thinking just in terms of the future of music. It's like, well, do you know what, I could tour, or I could just pay for a hologram to go around and do it all, and everyone will be like, oh yeah, adoration.
I'd like to see a hologram of Elvis dying whilst having a turd at Graceland.
Oh, apparently it was the consistency of a brick, wasn't it, or something like that. That's why he really kind of like heaved to get it out, and obviously and all the drugs he'd been taking his whole life. And that's the thing, like with Elvis, because he was dating Priscilla Presley, was it? Because I know there's that film just recently been released called Priscilla.
Did he not marry Priscilla Presley?
He did. Well, he married her. But he started dating her when she was 14. I was just thinking, like, because it's not that million, you know, not, I mean, was it 60, 70 years ago? And it's like, okay,
it's a bit weird. Isn't it?
A bit weird. I mean,
it's very, very weird.
Could you do? I mean, you've got like using the example of was it Russell Brand and Noel Fielding when they were dating Pixie or Peach's Geldof or whatever it is, she was 16, and everyone was saying like, oh, but these guys, you know, they were adults and she was 16 and everything else, still of the consensual age for, you know, having intercourse. But a 14-year-old and this 20-something guy, and I don't know. I mean,
it's statutory rape, isn't it?
Yeah, but they said, oh, well, they didn't do anything. Of course they're going to not say that, because they've got to protect the kind of Elvis estate, because you know that Priscilla Presley's obviously got some stake in that. Of course she does. Now, obviously, her daughter's died. But there's all these things of, like, everyone's protecting, like, the estate. And just on that, it's like, where you've got, obviously, these, like, when McCartney dies, when Ringo dies, and all these things, it's going to be left to their families. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah, I know that, like, an example of, like, Now and Then. It's like, oh, yeah, George would love it, and so would John. You know, they'd love it. And it's like, well, actually, maybe they would. Yeah, what makes you say that they would have done or not? And he, you know, that tape had been sat around for, like, 3 years. He didn't give it to Paul. He could have written on the cassette for Paul, put it in there, recorded it, and just really had a nasty-ass thing, you know, saying, a little bit like the film Brighton Rock, where he puts that record on, he records it, and he says to her, like, oh, at the start, he says about me, love, you know, want me to say I love you. Well, I love you. And then he goes on, actually, no, I fucking don't. But a record gets scratched, and she only ever hears the beginning bit of it. She could just nudge the needle along. That's another thing. She could then hear the rest of the record. But there's nothing to say. Yeah, how do they know this is what they would want? Yeah, that cassette tape could have been something that had recorded, like, some nasty-ass comments on, then gone, oh, do you know what? I need it. Oh, I've got an idea for a couple of songs. I know, I'll whack it in. I'll record over it because, you know what, I'd had a few too many sherbets and, I don't want that getting out and stuff like that. So, I don't know. It's just these estates. So, yeah, holograms, eh? Bloody hell.
Holograms, yeah.
What is Dolph? Well, I've got in brackets here, Desmond Potter.
Okay. This is a mind thread I went down earlier in the week when I was driving into work. We talked, was it last week or the week before, about Dolph Lundgren?
Oh, in He-Man.
In He-Man, yeah. And I was thinking, Dolph. Is that his real name, or is that short for Rudolph? That's the first thing that came to my head, is Rudolph. It's like, is his name Rudolph Lundgren? And that would be why he would change it to Dolph, because Dolph sounds more...
Absolutely.
Then I'm like, what if it isn't Rudolph? What if it's Adolf? He's Adolf Lundgren.
Oh, flipping egg.
And he's a bit like, well, I don't really want to be associated with Adolf Hitler.
Mm.
And this sort of got me onto Adolf Hitler. If somebody didn't know who Adolf Hitler was, and you would say someone with the name Adolf Hitler... Are they going to be a nice guy or an arsehole? You know, are they going to be a crazy psychopath who does genocide, or are they going to be someone who, I don't know, picks flowers and skips in the field? You know, the name sounds a little bit evil, doesn't it, Adolf Hitler?
Yes, it does.
So I thought, if he was called Rudolf Hitler instead of Adolf Hitler, would he have been as evil?
He probably would have been just as evil. I don't think the name would constitute.
I don't know because he was a bit of a painter, wasn't he? He's an animal lover and a painter, but he was an artist who no one really got his artwork, and he never really made anything out of it. So if he'd been embraced by the lovey community in Germany, you know, he came out of the World War One upset because, you know, he fought in a war and upset about the Treaty of Versailles. But someone said, I love your paintings, Rudolph.
Mm.
Can you paint me this? Or paint
and
this
he became a famous or... artiste and went along
the
road.
Yeah, a famous artist, yeah.
And that way.
Rudolph Hitler would be entirely different. This got me thinking about names, evil names. And I was thinking, if you were to be an authoritarian fascist leader in England, it would be really convenient if your name was Desmond Potter, because then you'd be Despot, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I haven't thought of that. I mean, it's not something I have aspirations to do. But it's interesting what you said. So just going back to the Desmond Hitler. Sorry, Rudolf Hitler.
Rudolf Hitler.
That it was obviously the circumstances, wasn't it, that he experienced after the First World War, and then he was in jail and he was like destitute, wasn't he, and he was seeing all the Jewish people around him, you know, in
well, he was in jail because he did lots of bad things politically.
Is that when he wrote Mein Kampf, My Struggle?
Yeah, when he's in jail. But he wasn't in jail like randomly, he was in jail because he did some
nasty. Yeah, well, stuff. Absolutely, but then I think that it all stemmed from his kind of environment reinforced perhaps his belief structure and stuff like that, and his kind of what he experienced and everything else. So, what I'm trying to ascertain is that if his upbringing was different as his and his experience of life, you are suggesting that he wouldn't have. I'm just trying to think. Was he born evil, or was it the set of circumstances that made him one of the most evilest people ever to sit on the earth?
Yeah, we just don't know whether people are born evil or whether it's all. I saw a TV program which had some research about psychopathy, and it looks at someone's genes, and it looks at how certain people will have a predisposition to become psychopaths. But there needs to be the environmental elements as well. So, for example, there'll be a particular genetic makeup, but there'll be things like head trauma as a child, and then obviously abuse and things growing up. So, and then at the same time, the study was looking at how that there are people who have got the genetics, have got the background, but then don't turn out to be psychopaths or psychopaths, because you can be a psychopath and then not do anything psychopathic. Mm-hmm. So people turn out different ways. So I think there needs to be a lot of stars that align for an Adolf Hitler. You know, it's not just who he was; it's the opportunity and how the society was at the time that enabled him.
Sorry, just quickly on psychopaths. There was something you said when we went to Exmoor, and you were saying about like yawning. That what was it again? That psychopaths, because they show no empathy,
it's infectious yawns is thought to be a sign of empathy. So if someone yawns, you yawn as well. It's being part of the group, and it's a learnt behaviour. Is it a learnt behaviour? Well, it's thought to be a sign of empathy. I don't know if it's a learnt behaviour or something that's in our genes to do to not be eaten by someone else in the clan if you don't yawn when they yawn. But
so I just yawned. Yes, yeah, so I noticed that you haven't yawned.
Oh, it's because I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at myself.
Oh, so narcissistic. Well, that's one of the things. It's on the list.
Maybe it wasn't a genuine yawn, so maybe I can subconsciously work out whether you're genuinely yawning. But yeah, it's if you're on a first date, say, ladies, with a man, and you want to know whether he's a controlling psychopath, just do a few yawns, and see if he yawns as well.
And there might think, oh, she's uninterested. I'd like to yawn, but I really like it, and I'm going to stifle it. So I'm just going to. Just got to pick up some fluff on the floor.
For my collection.
There you go. So I just needed this. Put it in my little.
Then you say, I'm making a mouse a pillow. And the girl will be like, oh, I've fallen in love with you. You're so sweet.
I fucking hate mice.
And then you come out with a story about how you you chased a mouse around.
I was listening to this podcast.
After decapitating another one.
So that idea that I had about mouse pillows, you won't believe it, but someone glassed the cat. Would you believe it?
Okay, so what are winter glasses, Robert?
So winter glasses is an idea that I've had. And it stems from that seasonal affective disorder. Sad. And vitamin D. Obviously, they say vitamin D is important. In the summer, we wear sunglasses to protect our eyes from UV. And I just thought, as an idea, is to have glasses which have very tiny...
Excuse me.
Oh, yeah, empathy, you're not a psychopath. just around the rims of the glasses, like very faint, so they don't need massive batteries, so you're not carrying like a great big, you know, a bum bag or fanny pack for our American listeners with a battery in it. And just and what they do is they emit just a little bit of light to kind of give your eyes that... I know obviously the whole body needs to absorb vitamin D and everything else, but sad boxes work in so much that your eyes are getting more light. And I was just thinking in terms of a winter glasses that you could put those on if you do wear glasses, and it just emits those little bit of light, and it just kind of, I don't know, makes your eyes feel brighter, makes your or just generally more pleasantness and positivity.
I thought another way we could capitalize on this invention.
What do you mean? It's fucking my idea.
Okay, you can. I'm just an ideas man. The people who go skiing for winter skiing holidays, and there's like maybe one day of bright sunshine, and they got the goggles on.
You've got it.
They get that silly suntan, and they come back and they got like white goggle eyes, and they got tan around the face. If you had it in skiing goggles, then that would even out the tan as well. If you had it like proper strong.
Oh well, you got to wear sunglasses, don't you? Because of the snow blindness, isn't it? Your eyes, you can get because the sun hits the snow. And it's really detrimental to your eyes. Or you could just wear, because I guess even wearing like factor 50, you'd still get some form of suntan, wouldn't you? It's just, I don't know. Maybe we just need some form of, some eye patches, which allows your, some suntan glasses is what you're trying to get at. But then you got to be careful because the eyelids, very thin. Very thin.
Yeah, well, you'd have like super computers in the lenses that apply different amounts of light to different parts of the skin.
AI.
Right, on that note, Robert, I'm going to introduce you to your quiz for this week.
Can't wait. Let me just take a swig of my cold coffee. How's your tea? Has it gone cold?
Oh, I finished it. I'm not going to make a cup of tea mid-podcast.
Good.
We're being a bit more snappy today because we did do an hour Christmas special, so we'll see if we can get in under half an hour today.
Are we? I don't even know. How long have we been recording for?
53 minutes.
It's working out well then.
Yeah. It's just because we've got so much interesting stuff
to
talk about.
Yeah, we've got a bloody big shit list.
You know the listeners come to hear me rather than hear you anyway, so which is obviously a lie. They don't come to hear either of us. They're actually... Coming. They're actually listening in the hope that someone else will come and start talking on the podcast. They're just endless optimists. They're not fond. They're not fond of either of us terribly.
They come to listen to you, but they come
Do they?
When they listen
My
to
me. My dulcet tones. Yeah. Nice. Oh, such a bad joke. Right.
Sorry, just quickly. Happy ending massages, right? I thought it would be quite funny to have a massage place called Happy Ending Massages. But what it is, the happy ending is you don't have to pay for it. The massage, that is. It's just like, well, this is brilliant.
Not you get a hand job.
You don't get a rub and a tug. No, this is that you don't have to pay for it. But like one lucky customer gets a free massage on that day.
Right, on that note. Okay, your quiz today, Robert.
Yes.
Is bad jobs.
Bad jobs.
Not bad hand jobs.
I'd say I've had a few bad jobs.
So this is celebrities. I picked five celebrities and I've got a choice of three with one being correct. Bad jobs they might have done, and you need to pick out the one they actually did.
All right.
Before they were famous.
What's the forfeit?
So the forfeit is it being New Year and us... having made lots of lovely resolutions, I thought that maybe we need to be more fit, more healthy. So for each question, there will be an exercise task that needs to be performed before the next question.
I can't. I'm knackered. I was up in my attic yesterday in the smallest of all All right.
That's not how it works. All right, fine, fine. I'm locked in the forfeit.
All right. Okay.
And I've written down the order, so you know, it's I don't know which ones you're going to get right, which ones you're going to get wrong.
All
right. But obviously, if you get it right, I do the exercise. You get it wrong.
All right.
Right, so first celebrity, Rod Stewart. So Rod Stewart was A, a rent boy, B, a gravedigger, or C, an abattoir assistant.
C, an abattoir assistant.
Rod Stewart was a gravedigger.
Fuck.
Right, so the first exercise is 10 press ups, please.
Oh, Jesus. It's going to be an hour-long episode now.
It's got to be my chair out of the bloody way.
Right, you can't see me, but I'm doing them. All right.
We'll be able to hear it. We'll be able to hear it. I could not see him doing that, so...
I did 10.
Let's have a look at your face. Are you sweating?
I'm wearing my Big Lebowski jumper. I'm bloody sweating, of course I am. I've got the heatings on as well.
Okay. Right, we'll move on then. Well done. So, number two, Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg was A, a party clown, B, a crime scene cleaner, or C, a mortuary beautician.
Mortuary beautician.
Right, I've got to do 10 sit-ups.
Yes! Thank God.
For that. Oh, God, I hate sit-ups as well.
I do.
This is going to make my dogs sit up and take notice.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to do crunches because I can't do sit-ups.
You're going to do crunches? All right, one.
Two. Three. Four. Six. Seven, eight, nine, ten. God, my dogs got all involved there. They helped me out. They offered me a bit of emotional support.
Did anything pop out?
Just yes. That was a live sound effect.
2024.
Right, okay, so three, Christopher Walken. God. Christopher Walken was A, a rodeo cowboy, B, a soldier, or C, a lion tamer.
Soldier.
He was a lion tamer.
Shit legs.
So I want 10 star jumps, please, Rob.
All right.
Two, God,
look at
those moobs bouncing.
Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Rob, the vibrations from your moobs bouncing.
I was going to say, dislodged. If I'd have known, I'd have worn a bra.
They dislodged some of your belly button fluff. Oh. Right, number four, Brad Pitt.
Right.
Brad Pitt was A, a chauffeur, B, a window cleaner, or C, a chicken sexer.
Chicken sexer.
No, he was a chauffeur to strippers.
Oh, fuck. I was going to say chauffeurs, but I thought to myself, as an actor or budding actor, then maybe they'd have done some weird job.
Chicken sexing is apparently a well-paid profession, because it's quite hard to determine whether a chicken is a male or a female.
Oh, you don't have to have sex with a chicken?
No, not.
All right.
No, they're well-known for choking the chicken. Right, anyway, that I want you to do 10 squats.
With these knees. All right. You might hear some clicking. All right. 10 bloody squats. 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't go any lower. 5. Oh, I'll start again then.
No, you just right. Keep going. It's fine.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ooh, squeezed out the top end. I thought I was going to do a little squeaker.
How's the prolapse?
Oh, it's, hang on. Back in. Right, so question 5.
See, I'm doing you a lot of good here, Rob.
No, you're not. You're not doing me a lot of good. It's annoying me.
I feel like a good friend to you. I'm like your personal trainer.
Yes.
Right, lastly, number 5. Mick Jagger was A, a gigolo, B, a hospital porter, or C, an underwear model.
Hospital porter.
Well done, sir.
Oh, thank God for that.
So I'm doing a 1 minute plank.
What? What's that?
A 1 minute plank. You know, a plank.
Is that where you have to lay flat on your elbow?
I'll show you. Can you see? Can you see my floor down here?
Yes, I can see your floor.
I'll do a 1 minute plank.
All right. You might have to put some mood music on or something. Like Bruce Versailles. Are you meant a plank? Is a plank normally curved? Tom's dogs are staring at him. I've in a met. God, that is gyro. He's thrusting a little bit there, ladies and gentlemen. But no, I don't know if his dogs are staring at him in confusion or amazement. Been a minute. I don't know if we've not been timing this. Oh, I think Tom has. Hasn't the plank got to be straight?
Was I bendy?
You're curved. You're like, I don't know. Could have made a boat out of you if you were a bit of wood.
Oh, okay.
I'll let you off.
I've got a bad back, haven't I? I can't do it properly.
Oh, I don't know. Is that where you got hit by a car?
Probably, yeah. Thanks for your sympathy. That was many years ago.
I remembered, didn't I? I remembered this.
Yeah. Do you know what we're doing next week, Rob?
Not a clue.